everyone, welcome back to the I'll Try That podcast. Guys, how are you getting on with lockdown 3.0 here in the UK?
I'm all right, actually. It's kind of carrying on my hobby from lockdown 2.0. I've really got into Wilkinson's own brand blocks, which is like their own version of Lego. I would say it's maybe becoming an addiction to me building blocks. So I've built four boats, a police boat, a fire boat, a luxury yacht. I've got a pirate ship to do next. I've built a police station, a crane, a snack van, a coffee kiosk, a SWAT van, a bulldozer.
So this sounds like you're spending a good amount of time building blocks, which is, sounds fantastic. Like, everyone loves to learn a new skill. It's a great opportunity with lockdowns to learn a new skill with all your extra time.
Are we calling this a skill?
I think building blocks is a, like Lego, is a very good skill, actually. It stretches your mind.
Yes, yeah.
But, Rich, that sounds like a lot of building block sets that you bought there. How much would you say you've invested in this new hobby of yours?
I don't really want to say. It's the more. We'll just put it as more than I should have. This is, and I'm probably still going to spend more. It's
so. What is it about the? So is it the fact that there are just new sets that you haven't made yet?
Yeah, 100%. And they keep introducing more. I've just seen the aquarium that I want to buy and build. That's going to be my next one.
Fantastic. I mean, I see a very nautical theme coming across with most of your ones. Obviously, that's a big passion of yours. It's your job, you know, being out on the sea. But I guess, you know, the police station in there, is that in case the boats get a bit naughty and they need to have a timeout? They go to the police station?
Well, I have got a police boat as well. So, if it needs a place to dock.
Now, are you building these sets and then, like, positioning them up for display purposes, or are you playing with them in the sense of like imagination and moving things
around?
Well,
mainly for display purposes, but now I don't. My apartment's not that big, and like I now don't have much space for blocks. And I did, okay, as a couple of days ago, I did lay them all out and create a whole city scene. It was great fun.
It sounds fun. I mean, you're going to have to move house just so you've got, and when you're looking at new places, you're going to have to think of where can you put this, your new hobby. You know, you need a games room for your building blocks.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank God my girlfriend's very understanding. This.
That does it. That's great. I mean, I don't have anything. I think that's a good starting kickoff. Let's go straight into a hot topic, shall we?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we added anything else, it'd be a whole hot topic,
wouldn't
it?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so this week on The Pursuit of Hoppiness, we're going to be sampling Old Speckled Hen, which was, I believe, possibly one of the first ales I ever tried. And of course, we're also going to do the non or low alcoholic version of that and do a cheeky comparison to see how they compare. But first, the hop topic. Okay, so this week, boys, I thought we would, mainly some people might be feeling a little bit down as we've gone into the third lockdown and all that sort of stuff. So what I thought I'd do is I'd find us a topic that was pretty lighthearted and something we can probably have a bit of a laugh about. Sound good?
That sounds perfect.
Winner. Okay, so I did a little bit of research before us chatting today, and I found a collection of bizarre kind of like beer and ale festivals from America. So you know they're going to be good. And so I'm taking a look. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the name out of the beer festival, and I want to get your opinion of what you think it's going to be like, what we could possibly expect. So the first one is probably not great for myself being a diabetic, but the Portland Beer Infused Cupcake Competition.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
Either, right, it is just a tasting thing where it's about you put, obviously, you're using beer in the process of making cupcakes, or, which I think would be better, a competition of how many of these beer-infused cupcakes can you consume, like a hot dog competition.
Okay, that would be good.
Yeah, that'd be good. I mean, I'd imagine the sugar rush would be insane.
But no, it's basically design of cupcakes, and people are and they have to be infused with some sort of beer for like the frosting on top. And so people try and create the most eccentric and fantastic cupcake that they possibly can. And then they're judged. And then they have beer pairings for their cupcakes as well. So there'll be a certain beer that you would drink with your cupcake.
Now, I would say that this actually doesn't surprise me too much that cupcakes are, because cupcakes are a huge deal in general, you know, there's a whole show that's dedicated to making cupcakes, I think, that I've seen, like the Great British Bake Off, or as it's called in the US, the Great British Baking Show.
Oh my God, I've watched that show. It's amazing. I've forgotten the name.
Cupcake Wars. It's called Cupcake Wars.
Cupcake Wars. Oh my God, I love Cupcake Wars. It is so good.
So Cupcake Wars is, it's already out there. So the fact that they've been able to make this with a beer infused one, it makes a lot of sense. You know, it's what give the people what they want.
To be honest, this thing sounds way more sophisticated than my eating competition. So I'll give it that.
Oh, 100%. Okay, so the next festival is Weird Beer and River Festival.
Well, let me guess what that one is. Weird beer. So you have obviously a very out, no, not the mainstream beers. So maybe you got like a pumpkin infused beer or a beer that's had coal in it or something weird. And you sit by the river and drink it. Is that the premise of the festival?
You know what? You've pretty much nailed it on the head there. So what happens is more than 25 breweries all come together and they brew beers specifically for this festival, and you won't be able to get them anywhere else afterwards.
So who brews them? The breweries?
Yeah, the breweries. So the breweries brew them, bring them along, and you can only sample them at this festival.
I like it. The limited edition, that you have to be there to sample it. Yeah, I could see that bringing out some crowds when you can.
That's cool. Right. Next one, Dragwell.
It's good. Okay, so I think this is possibly my favourite named one. Okay, so it's called the Sly Fox Bock Fest and Goat Race.
Simo, what do you think that's about?
Okay, so I think that they put a fox amongst the goats, okay? And you bet on the goat that races out the fastest and realises the fox is in the pen. So it's the idea is like, so you've got loads of goats and people bet on which goat escapes first. And so they have like a little hatch that they open, right? This, by the way, if this doesn't happen, I want to make it happen. I'll make loads of
money. If I'm honest, this doesn't sound like Peter will be on board with this festival, if that's how it goes on. Or like animal rights people. That's probably not a good idea.
They will tranquilize the fox as soon as it gets
that's
to
one. That's unfair on the fox, though.
Yeah.
No, because then you just put the fox back in the wildlife and give it a bit of meat, you know. It'll be fine. Tranquilizing isn't dangerous. Just put
it is.
You're still shooting them with a trank gun, but it's still like causing. Anyway, let's find out what it actually was. Yeah. That sounds really dark. If that's the festival, Rich, tell me that isn't the festival.
No, that's not the festival. Surprise, surprise. It is literally just a series of goat races throughout the day until the championships at the end, which is so it's like they have all the goats and then it gets whittled down to the final few for the finale. And Bock is just German for goat. So it's the Sly Fox Goat Fest.
So why is there fox on it?
I don't know why there's Sly Fox. It's just a name.
Well, it should just be called the goat races then, shouldn't it? Jeez.
Maybe that's what the locals call it. They're like, are we going to go down the goat races this week?
Yeah.
Bet on some goats.
Yeah.
Maybe, you never know, the betting scene might be
not
insane.
Not in the States, it's illegal to bet. Outside of places like Atlantic City and Las Vegas, but you know, I see what you mean.
So is it just, so are these goats bred to run?
Probably not. From the picture I saw, doesn't look that organised. I'm going to give you one more before we finish with this. This one's pretty simple, and I think we could probably all get behind it, okay? It's called Beer and Bacon Fest.
Oh.
I think that needs no explanation. Like, we know exactly what that is.
Yeah, pretty much, yep. All the beer.
I'm hoping that you get to eat bacon with beer.
Yeah, that's exactly it. They had, last year they made over 2 tons of bacon was made during the festival.
I love bacon. Bacon's such a good, bacon just works. Like, for me, any food that I've made, if you whack bacon in it, it just tastes better.
I have to apologise for all the vegetarians and vegans out there for the amount of times we've just said the word bacon. Right, let's move on.
And now for some Pursuit of Hoppiness.
Right, this week in the Pursuit of Hoppiness, we're going to be talking about Old Speckled Hen. Now, Old Speckled Hen, or Moorland Old Speckled Hen, is actually owned by a company called Green King, which you may be very familiar with, Green King IPA, which is one of their best breweries. But Green King is actually the UK's leading pub retailer and brewer, running over 2,700 pubs, restaurants, hotels in towns, villages and city centre high streets across England, Wales and Scotland. So they've been around for over 200 years.
Oh, I was just going to say, I visited one of the nicest Green Kings I've ever been to, was in a village called Beer.
That sounds like they had to have a pub in the village called Beer.
Yeah.
That sounds like a match made in heaven.
I had a beer in Beer. They got a really nice beer garden.
So Green King was founded, the brewery itself was founded by a Benjamin Green in Bury St. Edmunds in 1799. And it then merged and became with another business owned by Frederick William King in 1887 to become Green King. So Green King as a name has been around since 1887, but the brewery itself has been around since 1799. So it's been around for a very long time. What's interesting about this company, obviously it's been around and it doesn't just make beer. It's not just a brewery. It's in that traditional sense that it owns the place to sell the beer, whether that's hotels, whether that's restaurants, that's pubs. And they've kept themselves up modernized because they're known as one of the biggest retailer of these retail establishments and hospitalities in the UK.
Talking more specifically about the beer we're having, which is Old Speckled Hen, this is from a brewery called Moorland, which was, and the Old Speckled Hen was first brewed in 1979 in Abingdon, Oxfordshire. Okay, so with Moorland Brewery, it's got a very interesting history. So started by a man called John Moorland, which founded it in 1711, which is really old. And he, Moorland, bought Abbey Brewery and Eagle Brewery, and in 1885, so a long time in the future, changed its name to United Breweries. Then, in 1944, he changed back to Moorland Brewery. And then in 1979, we have Old Speckled Hen.
So when did Moorland Brewery become part of the Green King group?
So in the year 2000, it became part of Green King. So Old Speckled Hen has been around before the merging.
Yeah, so actually it was a Moorland asset, like beer, and then it got bought by Green King. So actually we're talking about the merger of two very old establishments here in the UK. They've been around, Moorland has been around longer than the Green Brewery, which was 1799 when it started, but Moorland was 1711. And then Green King's obviously over that time become a bigger thing that was able to buy out the Moorland Brewery, which by itself also has grown itself as well.
I think what might have happened, though, is so they bought out these two companies and became United Breweries. Maybe that didn't work.
It is interesting that they went from being called Moorland to United Breweries and then back to Moorland.
It says that it's because he bought more and more companies. Maybe he was just such a big shareholder that he felt that he had the right to change it back. But yeah, it is really interesting.
So yeah, Old Speckled Hen was brewed to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the MG car factory. I don't think the MG car factory is around anymore, is it?
Actually, it is. It is still around. Although it's now owned by a Chinese automobile company because MG's gone through quite a bit of, as the UK car industry receded, they went through a load of different mergers. So the one that we are most familiar with is their merger with MG and Rover. It's become the MG Rover group. But yes, MG's still very much around. My mum's very first car was an MG Spitfire.
One thing I noticed straight away was this is a new design, right? Because as in, this looks new to me. Because I swear it had a hen on it or something. Is that right, Joe?
So it actually had a fox. So it's called Old Speckled Hen, but their whole character, the link with animals was a fox. I mean, I guess because it makes sense that foxes go and get the hens, that kind of playing on the animal kingdom, as it were. But yeah, Old Speckled Hen has actually never had a hen on it. It's always been a fox.
But I do like the almost simplistic nature of it.
Yeah, so the actual name, Old Speckled Hen, they actually named it after a car they used to have in the factory. Which was, there's two stories of where the name came from. So one of them is that it was a car designed by MG, or MG at the time. And they used a certain like canvas material that looked like, a speckled hen. So, you know, you got the hens that are like the light browny orangey color with like the little, like blondie flecks on them. Or the other story came from that they used to have a runaround car that used to drive around the factory. And over the years, the car came covered in flecks of paint. And then it got earned the nickname Old Speckled Hen. And so there's two bits where the name could have come from, but they're both kind of similar. But it was named after a car that they used to have driving around.
That's amazing. I mean, there's a beer named after a car, and that's where it gets its name. And yet, Old Speckled Hen is like one of the most synonymous beers, like, you know, of ales that's been around for a very, very long time. As we're talking about the history of them, you know. But yeah, to get that kind of the history behind it, where it could have been one of two, you know, starting stories, but both of which are very fascinating, you know, quite interesting, very unusual as well.
I've got, I found it interesting because. About the fact that I kind of always see Old Speckled Hen as just being an English beer that would only be sold in England. And I just found it interesting that they actually export over 40 countries. And in the USA, they're in 32 of the 50 states.
Yeah, that's interesting. You could, in theory, find Old Speckled Hen in the States very easily by the sound of things. Which is great. I mean, it does travel well. This is a very good, it calls itself a distinctive English pale ale. And I think that hits the nail on the head. That's a great descriptor for it. It definitely is an English pale ale. It's not a craft beer in any way, shape or form in what it's trying to be. It's been around. It's very traditional in that sense, but it's very full flavored and it's still a pale ale after all. So it's very palatable. It's got that full flavor, but it's not, you know, bitter. It's not a bitter by any way, shape or form. It's very smooth in just how it's like, taste wise and taste palette. It reminds me of like quite like toffee notes. Like I'm getting quite a lot of toffee coming through in the flavor, because it's that kind of toffee caramel, or as the Americans say, caramel, you know, kind of flavor coming through.
I think it's quite rich.
I was going to say, I think an Old Speckled Hen, as I said earlier, was the first ale. It was kind of my introductory ale when I first started to try different kinds of things. And I can see why. It's good. It's nice.
Yeah, really tasty. So, Sim, you mentioned a bit about their rebrand, right? How it looks cleaner, it looks different. And they did go through a full rebrand, which has got a lot of media attention in 2019. So the end of about September 2019. And honestly, I say that, you know, the whole point of this rebrand is that they're taking a very traditional product and traditional brand and trying to modernize it, make it relevant for more contemporary tastes, let's say. That's how they're calling it in this press release anyway. But I think it's a really nice step forward. It's very clean, as you said. You know, the label now, that they're keeping a lot of the equities that they had before, you know, the color-wise, which is this big red, which is very synonymous with Old Speckled Hen. Obviously, the name itself. But they're adding new details, which I've never seen before or knew about the history. Like the fact that they're calling it the Moorland Old Speckled Hen. You know, it has a link back to the brewery now. You know, the fact of where it comes from. It's talking about its twin malt four hop brew, which must be one of the most traditional brews around because it's been around for so long. And it's saying that it's been creating beers of distinction. So they're really trying to create or show that this beer is crafted, but in the, it's always been crafted. You know, it's been around for a long time, but they're trying to link that kind of artisanal kind of craft back into, you know, and draw attention to it in the story of the Old Speckled Hen now.
I think Drabble's right with the fact that it tastes, I don't know how you compare it to other beers, but it does taste traditional. It does taste kind of, it's not like one of these funky pale ales that you can get. They're not trying to be that. I think, like, you know, it's a bit like, you know, a Doom Bar is quite staple in the UK and like that sort of alcoholic beverage. It does kind of feel like that when you're drinking it. Like, and I've always remembered it actually being one of the cheaper alcohols to get. So like I've always seen it when you go to the supermarket, it's always fairly decently priced. If you go to a pub, it's never like, they're not trying to be like plush or kind of that sort of thing. They're just a traditional standard kind of everywhere beer that everyone knows about.
But with this redesign, I would say that actually they're trying to change that convention. You know, they are available there. You know, it's a Green King beer, so it's going to be available across the UK. You know, they made, in 2019, their sales were 56.7 million pounds of Old Speckled Hen. So it's a considerable revenue source for Green King, is Old Speckled Hen. Yeah. But that's actually down 4.4%. So that's 2.6 million.
So going back with their redesign and stuff, I think they are trying to appeal to more of a younger audience, I suppose. And I always thought Old Speckled Hen and stuff like that was maybe drunk by men in pubs and all this sort of stuff, and was maybe aimed at the slightly older generation. But I think what they are trying to do is make themselves a bit more standoffish and a little bit more unique with their branding, which I think they've done.
I think so, Rich. And I think they've extended that as well, even further, by extending their product range. I only know Old Speckled Hen as one standalone pale ale. But they actually have a whole host of different beers. They have a Golden Hen, which is their craft beer. They have a Crafty Hen, which is their vintage beer. They have a Hoppy Hen, which is their pale, not like a kind of a more kind of contemporary take on a pale ale. They have a gluten-free version of the core Old Speckled Hen. They've got a Hen's Tooth, which is like a traditional beer. And they have the low-alcohol Old Speckled Hen.
I've actually had the Old Golden Hen, and it's actually really nice. So if you ever get a chance, I'd crack on with that. It is really, it's a bit like, do you know how Hobgoblin does their golden Hobgoblin? Yeah. I forgot what the name is.
Yeah, the gold. It's called the Golden, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually in the same vein. Like, it generally is. It's a really nice beer. So if you didn't like... Oh, Joe's disappointed. He's just opened the non-alc. Okay, hang on. Look.
Oh, boys. I am sorry to say. Oh, my God. Okay, so we just thought they've got a low alcohol. And I'm sorry to say, I've done the sniff test. And straight away, it's exactly the same as Doombar's in smell.
Maybe this is a problem with ale, Joe. Maybe this is a problem with traditional English ales. Maybe... Traditional English, because we've had two beers now. We've had this and we've had Doombar, and it's the same smell.
And by the look of Rich's face, it's exactly the same taste.
So I've just...
Maybe ales, Joe, just don't... Maybe you can't do a non-alcoholic ale well.
Won't it? So I've just had a swig of that, and it tastes nothing like Old Speckled Hen full alcoholic. They, as Simo was just saying then, no one's nailing it. We tried all of the other non-alcoholics the past couple of weeks sort of thing. And just...
I disagree with that. It can be done well. Heineken's 0.0 as a lager
lager.
Yeah, but listen, hear me out. It's an exact replica of their beer. It tastes like Heineken. Whatever. I know what you're saying. The point you're saying is that they haven't nailed it yet. I completely agree with you, but I would say that lager right now in Heineken 0.0 as a non-alcoholic version is a direct substitute. So they have nailed that. And also, this is coming from Heineken. This is a company that have got a lot of money to put behind their R&D and their product development. But right now, the low alcohol of Old Speckled Hen, very much similar to Doombar, is not a replication, and it's not a fair representation of the original product, because the original product is great, as we've just been talking about. It's got those kind of nice full-bodied, it's a great, you know, pale ale, it exports well, the fact that it's in 32 states in the US and a load of other countries. But right now, this low alc is just, I think they've just rushed it to market just to make a low alc and say, we have a low alc version. And why I'm saying low alc instead of non-alc is because they're very specific and it's called low alcohol in that it's never more than 0.5% ABV volume.
Yeah.
And we've seen that quite a lot with beers. Either they are through and through 0.0%, they have no alcohol in it, or they're made through the brewing process and then they have the alcohol taken out of it. And this is what they've done with Old Speckled Hen.
Just a quick one. When you swig it, do you get a slight chocolatey cocoa taste afterwards, or is that just me?
I think that's just you, because I don't taste that.
I do get something else that's a bit like nutty. Yes, almost.
That's the one.
I get
yeah.
a bit of nuttiness coming through it, and again, that's not. It's a different taste. I don't dislike that, but the problem being is that I'm still getting with this low alc that there's something been done to this. It's vacuous. There's like a gas in there, or there's like a there's a flavor to the gas, which doesn't make any sense because gas is flavorless, but it's like there's something there, or there's something that isn't there, but you can taste what's not there. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but when you try this and you start picturing, oh, it's missing something, but I can taste what it's missing, but I can't put my finger on what it's missing, that's what it is.
I would say that even though I do not like it, and I will caveat this that I do not like it, I do think this is better than the Doom Bar. And I actually think that, because I've had a bit, now I've had a bit more, I feel like there's a little bit of nuttiness or something to it at the end, which makes me enjoy, like not enjoy it, but it feels a little bit better for me personally than the Doom Bar, but that's not saying much because I don't like either of the non-alcs.
So Simo, I can see where you're coming from with either side, but it goes back to what Joe was saying. They shouldn't be calling it Old Speckled Hen. They shouldn't be comparing it. It shouldn't be a comparison because it's not.
Yeah, they need to rename it.
They need to rename it. They need to think it's going to tarnish their brand if they're trying to sell something that.
They could have called it the Hollow Hen. There you go.
Joe, you there? I think we've lost Joe.
He's so disappointed with the Old Speckled Hen not low alcohol that his screen has frozen. Joe has left the meeting. He's so disappointed, Drumroll.
He's so disappointed with this. It's just not good. Oops, by the looks of it, we have lost Joe. Okay, so you're stuck with me and Simo, unfortunately. We will just roll with it. So what I'll do, Simo, I will bust out the numbers for you. So Old Speckled Hen has 10.9k followers, which is pretty good, I've got to say, but they are a staple, yeah. And they are everywhere, aren't they? Sort of thing. So I can kind of, they've been around a long time, and ooh, their Instagram game not so strong. Only 2,427 followers.
Crazy. All right. Okay. So I would say if you're in the mood for a pale ale, English pale ale, go with Old Speckled Hen. I would avoid the non-alc.
That's it. That's exactly what I would go with as well.
And that's all we have time for this week's episode of the I'll Try That podcast. And so from me, Joe,
Rich,
and Simo,
goodbye. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram,
Twitter,
and watch us on YouTube.
Goodbye now. Always drink responsibly. And if you or anyone else needs some help, go to drinkaware.co.uk for more information. Thank you.